Indiana, the 19th state. The 19th state. Glimpses of Indiana's past and present. The people, the events, the values that shape our lives.
Here's a riddle. What's made of metal, sits in a woods, appeals to women, and sounds like this. Give up? A feminist printing press, of course. First, let's meet the two women who run the Helene Victoria Press, Nancy Poor and Jocelyn Cohen. These two women spend much of their time at their press printing postcards. Now, if that seems a strange sort of feminist activity, consider history. Back when phone calls weren't around yet, postcards were the way of making short and formal communications. There were all sorts of postcards: scenic, political, humorous, and in the case of women, derogatory.
The idea of women getting out in the workforce and getting jobs was fairly new. And things about office girls, telephone operators, staying late with the boss, being discovered by the wife, things like that are just abounded. And what were some of the other school teachers?
School teachers were always usually spinsters.
Household servants came in for a lot of ethnic and racial jokes. You know, the stupid girl just off the boat kind of thing. Really outrageous things to us today.
To look through the postcard collection of the Helene Victoria Press is to scan the history of women, and to look at women's roles in the general history as well. One set of decorative cards features very old, vintage photographs of women working in the factories and displays the phrase, "bread and roses." Have you heard that phrase used before? We noticed it used throughout the press's catalog. Nancy Poor says that there's a story behind the very specific meaning of that phrase, and she tells us that story.
In 1912 in Lawrence, Massachusetts, there was a strike of, was that mostly shoe and textile workers? Those were the kinds of industries that mostly were in that town before they went to the Sun Belt, the town is a ghost town now, basically. But at that time, it was thriving, and people really had such dangerous working conditions and not livable wages, and nearly all of them were immigrants. And the idea that they went on a very, very cold February day. It was record weather, but they staged a strike and a march, and many people were killed by professional thugs hired by the corporations. And also the city police were sent in, and of course they were on the side of the corporations. And this went on for quite a bit during that winter, and in fact it was so severe that the children were put on trains and sent to foster homes in New York City because the fighting in the streets was a small war and no one was safe. And the bread and butter issues were a living wage, but some of the women got together and marched in a contingent, and they said that bread wasn't enough. There was more to life than slaving from morning till night just to get, you know, 3 cents more a day or a week. That there should be something else in life. There should be beauty, there should be culture, there should be something. So they adopted the slogan "Bread and Roses," which was later made into a poem and a song. And that the qualities of life should include, in other words, enough to live on, but also something extra, something to make that worthwhile.
You have to understand that the Helene Victoria Press works out of a very small garage attached to a very small house outside of Martinsville, a very small town. The press itself is an antique, one that Jocelyn and Nancy have to service themselves, but they wouldn't have it any other way.
This way we can set our own type. And, you know, just, I mean, if we decide we want to print something, we can just print it. And it seems to be more adaptable for country living. And also, it's in the historical period that we work. I mean, most of our, we don't do anything that's, we do contemporary women too. But they probably grew up when this press was being used, if we do.
And we can read reasonably sure the machine doesn't have a woman's name like Big Bertha or something like that.
Right. Also, it makes a different kind of an appearance. If you look at this paper, you can actually see the impression. You can feel that with your hand. Yeah. And for fine printing, for certain kinds of images, this is a quality that you simply can't get with ink and water on a piece of what is essentially tin foil. which is what most so-called instant presses use now.
The work of Jocelyn and Nancy sends them across the country searching for rare photographs of women and women's activities, which makes the press a kind of historical archive as well. Some of the photographs they've unearthed are quite rare. We'd love to show you one in particular, but you'll have to settle for a description for now. It's a photograph of the black folklorist and novelist Zora Neale Hurston.
And she's standing here with her notebook and smiling, and she seems to have left a reputation for kind of having a wonderful sense of humor. We put a quote on the front of this card that kind of characterizes Hurston. She would personalize the folklore. There seems to be some question, because she didn't use a tape recorder, how much of the folklore she collected was exactly what she heard. But since Hurston was a storyteller herself, basically I consider the fact that she collected folklore and that her stories were as much a part of what she heard as, I mean, they were folklore themselves, and when you pass on stories, they always change, and she would just be part of that process. The front of this card says that, it says Zora Neale Hurston, and then it says, she once claimed she was arrested for crossing against a red light, but escaped punishment by explaining, I had seen white folks pass on green and therefore assumed the red light was for me.
The Helene Victoria Press.